The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS.
It is 6 a.m., everyone, on a Friday. It's July the 23rd, 2021. Good old 710 KNUS. Friday morning says got some evening storms. A big storm come through yesterday evening. That was great. Tomorrow, much the same. Sunday, much the same. Back to work Monday. 92 degrees yet to come in the hour. Dr. Brian Jundep returns. Julia Cardi from Colorado Springs Gazette's on the show. Jack Rice is on the show. I'm having lunch with this man this morning. Please say good morning. Welcome back. It's Sunday morning show at 6 a.m. as a don't miss. Father Andre is with us. Father, good morning, man. Thanks for coming back up.
My dear Peter, good morning.
Yeah, you too. First of all, and I'm reading so much about Middle East, and now with the COVID, because things we were talking about COVID in the last hour, the Iranians and, I mean, a lot of the countries are not reporting death counts. You are Lebanese. What are you hearing in Lebanon about COVID? And Lebanon screwed up enough. Is there an effect by COVID in what you're aware of?
There is a big effect, Peter. 3 days ago, Anthony, the person who, one of the volunteers who delivers food actually for people in their houses, was driving with few 50 boxes of food to deliver to families and stopped at a gas station to try to find gas, basically. And there is no gas at the gas station. And cars were parked on the highway, were parked around gas stations. No fuel was available. And the reason why I'm saying this, because it is affected, actually, by the coronavirus, even though there are vaccines for people to receive the vaccine. You know, there is a challenge about the vaccine amongst people. There is people who may want it, people may do not want it. But it is definitely affecting the entire structure, including all the services for people. Bread is very difficult to find. The milk is very difficult to find. Financially and physically, people are not able to go to the bank. Many of the banks are closed. 30 hospitals completely shut down their services, and there is abuse of the medicine because people, in fact, we sent a doctor to Lebanon, actually, from California, and he returned about a month ago, Peter, and he was telling us that the crisis of the medicine and the chronic diseases in Lebanon are huge. Mm. So people are dying, actually, because they're not being able to be checked by their regular doctors, and they have chronic diseases, they have chronic illnesses, and that's a big crisis by itself. And usually in situations like this, people travel to seek help from their neighbors, and they cannot. There are 550 new coronavirus on the rise in Lebanon cases, and this is on daily basis, which had came down a little bit. So there are these necessities have been really a major emergency in Lebanon, and we do need help. And again, I tell the people, go to Mission of Hope and Mercy. Go to it and try to see if you can help us. So definitely it has affected.
Father Andre is with us. I read, I don't know if that's true or not, but I read that the death toll in Iran doesn't get reported. We know India. We know a little bit about Pakistan. The Indians, the subcontinent Indians, they're attempting as hard as they can help. Actually, interesting that I read this a couple nights ago, the PRC, People's Republic of China, is the largest manufacturer of needles, who knew, in the world, and they can't get enough. I mean, It's different than this country, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of people, in at least the best of my knowledge, in the subcontinent telling people this is a conspiracy. And the death tolls, I'm told, in Iran, the mullahs aren't telling the truth, but there are people that they have in trailers. They put them in coolers to keep their bodies. Have you heard any of that?
Yes, I want to say this is reasonably illogical. Story, because simply in Lebanon, the medicine has been stolen from the pharmacy.
Sure.
You know, on August 4th, we will commemorate, unfortunately, the 1 year commemoration of the Beirut explosion, on August 4th.
Yeah.
And the Mission of Hope and Mercy is going to show a 44-minute documentary that is very interesting, very important. We will see in this documentary, Peter, from the pharmacist, how the medicine has been stolen. Now, the reason why I'm saying this relates to your question, because the medicine is being stolen from Lebanon and for the last at least 9 months, and it's been taken through Syria to Iran. And meanwhile, that medicine that's been leaving Lebanon is definitely being used elsewhere. At the same time, over a year ago, 70s or 80s of buses on daily basis, you're talking Pullman buses, the big, huge European-style travel buses, have been coming from Iran and via Syria to Lebanon of people who were not being checked for the COVID. And we know definitely people who have been. So you know what this means, basically. So they're spreading their people across, bringing them to Lebanon. They're using the Lebanese hospitals. The Lebanese people cannot go to the hospitals. So definitely there is a major surge, and I would say the form of the COVID in Iran must have taken a biological type of weapon and toll. But you know, they're also doing it at the expense of the local Lebanese person. Milk also disappeared for the same reason, Peter, from the markets of Lebanon. It is just horrible what's happening.
When historians and theorists talk about, and Lebanon's a great example right now. Lebanon, well, you went through a lot when you were a boy growing up because of the Civil War. But traditionally, Lebanon had always been the Paris of the Mediterranean. It was the most beautiful of all countries. It had remained neutral, and it's been destroyed. And now the center can't hold. Lebanon is being destroyed. As you mentioned, the story of the banks and food. And, you know, by the way, it's interesting to read about when the United States of America leaves Afghanistan in the middle of the night, all of the equipment and the weapons and the medical, everything that's left behind, that all now belongs to ISIS or it belongs to the Talibs. The United States leaves it all behind, as it did in Southeast Asia, and it does it again. And there's people that direct me where to read about Iran, not that it's accurate, but I assume it's at least partially true. The death toll in Iran from the COVID and other parts of the world, they don't tell you. I don't think the Chinese remotely tell the truth about a death toll in the PRC. Father, I know that's a guess, but what do you think of that?
I would say is in the thousands, by means of thousands, I would say it could exceed the 100,000.
Sure,
of
course. More.
To tell you, it could exceed the 100,000 and more. I'm not talking China. I'm simply talking Iran.
No.
And I tell you, Peter, you know, I was on the borders, and I've been going and coming back to see also what's happening in Texas, to see, interesting enough, that to see Middle Eastern people coming through the borders as well, between Mexico and Texas, trying to come to the United States. I think that's a factor also we need to consider. Where are these people coming from? And that would tell you as well to see where are these people running away from. Definitely the crisis of food, the crisis of gas. You know, Iran is a mystery. Iran is a mystery because inside Iran, we do have a Christian, missionaries, including from the United States, actually, not necessarily Catholic, but you do have some evangelical presence, believe it or not, with missions working inside Iran. There is a huge population of people who and somehow converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and through those people, we are knowing how much darkness there has been in that country and how much sickness and illness on the street. So I feel bad for the people, really, who are living under those regimes and they're not being able to receive help. Would you blame it on economic sanctions?
No.
Would you blame it on their own terrorism? Would you blame it on their own regimes that is really totalitarian and killing the people in its own land? We have to pray. The image of God is failing in the hearts of the people. We have to rise the people who believe in God, Peter, and in human goodness. We have to refresh our virtue and our love for one another.
I thought under the mullahs, Father, under Sharia, if there's a Christian church, and I'm sure there is, it's underground. I can't imagine under the Sharia law, from at least my reading of it, that the mullahs would tolerate an above-the-ground evangelical, or for that matter, Orthodox church.
Well, they do tolerate the historical communities. We still have, like in Isfahan, instance, we still have a major Armenian community. There is an entire street in Isfahan that the major celebration in Iran is Christmas. I do not know if people know this, for instance. You have one of the oldest Jewish tribe in the world, 600 years before Jesus Christ. It's still a little bit viable in that area inside Iran. Yes, you do have evangelical presence underground, and they're suffering a lot, and they are seeking our help. And we try to... There are, Peter, and you're talking not 1,000 and 2,000. I think you'll be surprised in a million inside Iran. Iran is receiving a conversion internally. A Christian conversion is happening. You know, usually people are about 68% in Iran. Usually they are, I would say, modern people. And we do not know why those people have no voice, have no existence. You remember they took the internet away from them. This is why it is hard to report. 2 years ago, they shut down all the internet and they committed atrocities on the streets. And I believe this was related to why Soleimani also got killed, you know, because he's the one who led this operation to remove internet from Iran, make sure all people are put to jail. It was really an act of aggression against their own people about 2 years ago. So we do have a presence. You do have the Assyrian church inside Iran. A friend of mine who studied with me in Rome actually became the bishop inside Iran for the Assyrian church of Babel.
Which country is stricter, the mullahs and the Shia of Iran or the Sunni Wahhabs in Saudi Arabia? Which is worse?
I would say both of them.
All right.
I would say both of them, but the worst now is Taliban. You know, you and me, like a prophet in a wilderness, we have yelled and screamed 2 months ago on this radio show that please pay attention to what's happening. So we have a people, and I did meet with people who returned from Afghanistan. They were serving in our military, and I blessed them and I prayed with them this past week. I have a lot to tell you. I believe I'm going to see you today.
Yeah, lunch. We have lunch today. We have noon to tell you those things.
And we saw videos, unfortunately, of Taliban running to all the people who were working, which are Muslims as well, right? And Sunni Muslims who were a little bit modern, or they work with U.S. military forces. And I'm sorry to say this in the early morning, but, I really cried literally. I couldn't watch it till the end. They were lining the young guys, and they were lining
shooting them.
The people. And no, I wish worse, Peter. And they were reading the Sharia sentence against them. And then they lifted their legs, they cut their legs, and they put their legs in boiling water. It's just the most, and I have those things to show you, actually. It is just that. It is upsetting. Muslims have to stand up, Peter. Muslims have to say something. This is not right.
I saw the videos of, that's where you're headed, where the Afghan army surrendered its weapons to the Talibs, and the Talibs took them, lined them up, and killed them with their own weapons. I saw that. No, it's insanity. I've checked out a long time ago. I'm stuck. I'm always stuck when I speak with you. Father Andre Mahan is here. What are you going to do on Sunday morning? What's the show on Sunday? What are you going to do?
Well, this Sunday morning is going to be very interesting. We're going to continue working from the borders, basically. We have a special guest, Mike Arnold. He's a beautiful businessman. He's an author of Uprising, Time for Christians to Rise and Shine. And he's a founder of Africa Arise Ministry. You know what's happening in South Africa. That's also an area I wish you and me will shed light on it. Thousands of people are being killed. He will be talking to us a background on what is happening in Nigeria. Of course, there is a persecution all over the world. There is a situation in Nigeria that is very important for us people here to understand and to draw parallels of what's happening on the borders of Texas in the United States and Mexico, and what's been happening inside Nigeria, specifically when it comes to children, murdered children, the cartels, internal battles and laws, the human trafficking. He says, I believe that what man has called the dark continent, God is raising to be the continent of light. And we are learning about the African people and their cry for help, their cry for hope, their cry for freedom, their cry for safety and for security. This is what we will be speaking about this Sunday.
You introduced me to this wonderful woman in the Hutus and Tutsis in that horrible you can't even call it a civil war. And everybody, all the Western so-called first world powers stayed out of that fight. And those people, what they did to each other. And I remember reading people who said, well, one of the reasons that the U.S. and the British and the Germans and for that matter, the Russians, they stayed out. There was nothing to steal. As an interesting theory, that there was no raw materials, there was nothing to gain. As, you know, the U.S. and the Soviets during the Cold War, you would get someplace because there was something to get. And they stayed away from those people. And I don't think anybody, actually, one of the survivors is a friend of yours introduced to me. I've never understood. I never, Father, that's one of those, okay, was there was nothing in it for the multinational corporations.
I still pray honestly for Pastor Christina and her family.
She's great.
She's great. She's such
she get,
a
we know we should. I'll tell you. Today I'm gonna get her number from you. You know, we'll get her in the studio to talk because she
absolutely.
I should do that.
Great background.
I should do that.
She
All right.
A great background, of course.
I'll see you at noon. I love you.
I see you at noon.
Thanks, Father.
You.
All right. Now, this
you.
Woman, I met her through Andre. And we had a lengthy talk at a great breakfast and talked about that. I think she's Tutsi, but the Hutus and the Tutsis went at each other, and it was horrible. We're in Rwanda, and one of the theories was there was nothing to steal, so the U.S. stayed out. A text message or email: my whole family or my father's side is from Tehran. Many died from COVID or being shot or been being buried in mass graves. That's what I've read, that you don't know the body counts. Well, let me do this. Let's do a quick turnaround. We'll get Dr. June Depp up. Starts up again, but the NFL yesterday rules, they call it the COVID rule. Teams will forfeit due to an outbreak if the game can't be rescheduled during this coming schedule. And apparently everybody loses money. They go after, both sides. This is the NFL saying, get vaccinated. I've been reading all different websites since yesterday afternoon on people's takes on this. But what it is, you know, and when money's on the table, you know what hits the fan. At 16 after the hour, we'll take an early turnaround. 93, the high today. Dr. June Depp coming up. Dan Kaplis' law firm, it's my guy. I mean, these guys are the best of the best, and thousands of innocent people are killed, injured every year. Truck accidents, motorcycles, have lost a dear friend on a motorcycle. Dan Kaplis' law firm, long successful track record in cases against the trucking industry, car wrecks. Just something's happened. Talk to Danny. The largest jury settlement in truck accident case history in Colorado. A $25 million jury settlement. Danny did it. But all these out of court settlements people settle. They want to screw with Kaplis. That's the bottom line. Danny's my guy. Dan Kaplis Law, a serious firm for serious cases. Taking righteous cases on a percentage fee basis. Everybody, all walks of life, everybody benefits. If you got a problem, see the man, 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003. It's a phone call. You got a question, though, answer it. 303-907-5003. Hit dankaplislaw.com, CAPLIS Kaplis.com. COVID causing tornadoes, 23. After the hour 6:23, Friday morning, everyone, the 23rd of July, 2021, 710 KNUS. Without further ado, I'm a huge fan. Welcome back. I read his piece the other morning on the Republican Party and this morning on masking. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a dear friend. Please say good morning, physician, MD, Dr. Brian June Depp. Good morning, sir. Welcome home.
Hey, good morning, Peter. How are you?
You know, I'm all right. I got a semi-good weekend planned, and Sturgis is straight ahead, and somebody mentioned skiing yesterday. You know, one of those ski sales are going to start in August. So how bad can it all be?
Yeah, when it's 95 degrees, that's the first thing I think of, skiing.
Hey, did you get any a lot, lot? Did you get yeah, right? Did you get a lot of skiing in last season?
No, I did not.
You know, we went.
It was a lot of hassle. It was, you know, the masking, the distancing on the lifts. It was the reservations. It just, I don't know, it took a lot of the fun out of it. And it became more of a chore.
And Brian, Brian and his family are avid skiers. And I got in, what I learned to do was, like, and I don't know if you can do it or not as a physician, but I would take a day off. And I'd ski Monday or Tuesday, and Gary and I, And if you and there was no lift lines, you know, as you know, well, there's no lift lines Monday or Tuesday, but you still you had to pull your mask up.
That's a lot harder for me. I got to plan it, and you know, weeks ahead to plan. I can't just spontaneously.
I know.
50 patients. You know.
I know you can't.
Twiddle your thumbs and
yeah.
Skiing today. No. I'd like to, but that doesn't work.
Well, we'll promise because we've told each other for 5 years we're going to get that in, and this will be the year. But it's. I want to begin with the piece I read that you did on the Republican Party. And we kind of view the Republican Party pretty much what is to be done. So your thoughts about the Republican Party in Colorado and as well nationwide?
Well, Colorado, they have a pattern of poor candidates. They're not hitting the important issues, and ultimately they lose. And rather than adjusting course and saying, hey, what we're doing is not working, we're just going to double down and continue that. And insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And they nominate the same people. They have different names and faces, but they're basically the same person.
Yeah.
You know, the Bob Beaupreys, the Walker Stapletons, Dan Mays. You know, they and Cory Gardner. Cory Gardner should have won.
Yeah.
That was not a, you know, that was a winnable race. He's an incumbent. Incumbents have a huge advantage, but where was Cory talking about Sanctuary City, homelessness in Denver, rising crime in Denver, Jack Phillips? There are a lot of things he could have talked about instead of doing, you know, shower commercials, which were stupid. People hit the mute button when that comes on.
I so agree. We talked through that. I had 15 different commercials that I thought he could use. Same thing with Walker Stapleton. They never did any of that, and so I look at. Have you met these two young women that now, or some of the new young chargers that want to run for office? Have you met any of these people yet, Doctor?
No.
I'd like to arrange that.
Sure.
It's called the puncher's chance or the snowball in hell. Do you think the Republican Party has a chance? I mean, right now, all the screw ups of Joe Biden. We were talking about masking off the air. I was talking to a long-time friend. We don't know who's coming into this country. No one is checked. No one is tested. And yet, this whole begins again. And yet, I'm like so many people. I look at this COVID thing, and now we have the NFL. Oh, by the way, finish up on the Republican Party. Nationally, what do you think of the Republican Party?
Well, nationally, there's some rising stars, but it's still Donald Trump's party.
Yeah, I agree.
Kingmaker, and he's going to bless the candidates, and he's going to have his slate of candidates running for Congress. And people that dismiss that or dismiss him, they're going to end up on the short end of the stick.
I'm not sure.
It's not the party of Liz Cheney, of Ken Buck, of Adam Kinzinger, and the, you know, the Never Trump squad. They're not going anywhere.
No, but that's not the win.
Or maybe they get bounced.
But that's not the win, Doctor. But, I mean, you're playing for win.
No.
Yeah, you're playing for the win.
Well, and look at Trump and look at how he campaigned in 2016. He was up against 16 other experienced, talented candidates. He knocked them all out systematically. He was against the Clinton machine. He knocked that out. The media was against him. Everything was against him, yet he came through and he won.
I agree.
Why not look at that pattern and repeat it and say, hey,
you know,
if you come out and you exhibit some charisma and you punch back and you hit the issues that are important to people, you can win.
Oh.
Trump showed how it's done.
But Donald Trump is an anathema. He's an enigma. There isn't another Donald Trump. And
no. Well, there wasn't another Ronald Reagan.
Well, now I was going to.
Ronald Reagan.
I was about to transition to my Reagan speech that. Reagan was Reagan, one of a kind. He won't come again. But you need a Reagan-esque character, locally and nationally.
Right.
Locally and nationally.
As they say, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes.
Indeed. So who do you see?
Donald Trump rhymed with Ronald Reagan. He wasn't Reagan. Nobody will be Reagan. Nobody will be Trump. But they rhyme. They approach things similarly. So there's a rhyme to them.
Reagan
and how they had. charisma and reach the people. Yeah. Yes, different personalities.
Much so. Yeah, Reagan was a party guy. Trump was never a party guy. Trump was Trump. And, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, he was Donald Trump.
The parties were also different then. The mm-hmm. media was different. Oh, yeah. You know, it's a different time. It took a different type of campaign.
But with respect, the rules can change, but the game remains the same. And now I'm looking at this thing, and there is a civil war in the Republic. Our guest is the one and only Dr. Brian Jundep. The civil war in the Republican Party on the state level and as well as the national level. And people, I think, and you have to go. We've talked about this 1,000 times. You have to go to and offer problems and solution problems to the middleman, to the guy in the middle, and Ronald Reagan won. You know, the Democrats that crossed for Reagan, as opposed to staying with Jimmy Carter, who had flubbed it so badly. How do we do it again, Doctor?
Well, you have Jimmy Carter all over again. I mean, with Joe Biden, you're going to have the misery index. Inflation is higher than they're telling us. Unemployment's creeping up. The economy is in trouble, and that's teeing it up for a Republican.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If they hit the right issues, but if you run a Cory Gardner campaign, you lose. Or a Mitt Romney campaign, or a Bob Dole, or a John McCain. You know, those were winnable races.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, and you and I have talked about this, I would take Jimmy Carter tonight and get rid of Joe Biden. Big deal, I was around Jimmy Carter a couple of times. Jimmy Carter loved his country. And Jimmy Carter was who Jimmy Carter was. Made huge mistakes, inherited enormous amounts of problems, end of story. But if I had the opportunity today to take Walter Mondale and Jimmy Carter over these two, I would do it in 11 seconds. Your thoughts?
I would agree. These two and those behind them. And Joe Biden's not calling the shots. Oh. He's got people behind him, and there's puppet masters that are telling him what to do.
Absolutely.
But this whole cabal is not America loving. If you look at what they're doing, if you come up with a scenario of how can we destroy America, what can we do to bring it down? Well, what would you do differently? They're doing all that. They're destroying the economy, opening the borders. It's the Cloward-Piven strategy of just creating mass chaos and coming up with something new and different that's not going to be good.
One of the reasons I believe that Donald Trump won was that he offered an alternative. And he turned on, rightfully so, on all the Bushes and the rest of those people, and the establishment of the party didn't want Donald Trump, but the people did. And we know that's true about Reagan as well. The establishment wanted the establishment wanted Herbert Walker. They didn't want Ronald Reagan. So, but it was a quiet civil war, and these were smarter men and women. The objective was to win the White House, and at the cost. How's it done again? I mean, truly, how's it done again?
Well, my guess is Trump will be running again.
I don't think so.
That's one solution. Well, we'll see. Or somebody like Trump. You know, there's Ron DeSantis mm-hmm. out there. There are people that are willing to push back and mm-hmm. talk back and not take crap from the media mm-hmm. and set their own narrative and agenda. But there are few of them.
That's
the establishment
point.
Republicans yeah. are yeah. They're not many. Well, I mean, do you think any of the other Republicans would have beaten Hillary Clinton? Of course not.
That's a really good question, because it was Trump's moment, and there's this wonderful line when the pupil was ready, the teacher appears, and the nation was ready at that moment for Donald Trump. Because
who is going to beat Hillary Clinton? You know, was Ted Cruz?
No.
Was Marco Rubio?
No.
Was John Kasich?
Jeb Bush. They were friends. I mean, they. You can see all this, Lamar Alexander and Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. And no, I agree with you.
Jeb spent $100 million and got 3 delegates.
Got nothing, yeah.
That's how successful he was. Trump shut him down in the second.
And the Colorado delegation walked out on Trump. I was there and witnessed it, in spite of what they say. Chuck and I and Mark Crowley watched it happen. So the world was in a turmoil. And Donald Trump pulled it together. There's not even a question about that.
He appealed to the people rather than the party.
Yeah, bingo. Bingo.
And the party's not going to get you elected. The party might drag you across the finish line and give you the nomination, but it's not going to get you elected. You have to connect with the people.
That's it.
And Trump had his hot button issues of, you know, endless wars and open borders and the economy and things like that. making America great. And that's what's why is that such a controversial? America great doesn't mean hurting anybody else. It means standing up for America, American values, and a great America is great for the people that live here.
No argument. I mean, he struck a chord, and the Reagan chord, the shining city on the hill. And as Lou Cannon and others have said, Ronald Reagan gave the same speech. He just gave it a different way every time. And I see Trump doing that. Trump would make the same speech. It's a totally different character, as we both suggested. But it resonated. He touched the chord. He touched the third rail. And then it all goes away. And now you got this guy. And this guy, like I said, I have no idea what I'm watching, Doctor. None.
Nothing is going particularly well. The economy's not. The border's wide open. The COVID and the mandates and all of that. The Middle East is heating up. Russia's got its pipeline. You know, what's happening that's good? China's flexing its muscle. Mm-hmm. North Korea's telling Joe to pound sand. Where are his successes? He's been in office 6 months now. What can he point to
Nothing.
And say, wow, look what we've done?
Nothing.
Look how great it is.
He met with the King of Jordan yesterday using cue cards. My friend, I got an inside friend who sent me a text. He said I didn't know that. He met with the King of Jordan yesterday. I didn't know that. And he was using cue cards to talk to the king.
Well, you look at his interview with Don Lemon on CNN, this town hall.
Did you see that? Did you watch that?
I didn't watch it per se, but I've seen clips of him trying to answer a question.
You can't.
It's incomprehensible. It's just gibberish, and he's all over the place. And Don Lemon has to feed him cues.
Well, he was steering him.
I don't know what Joe's getting in his earpiece to tell him what to say, and he's confused.
No, I agree.
He shouldn't be there. This is not only an embarrassment for America, it's dangerous.
Well,
you don't think foreign leaders are taking note of, look who's in charge?
Well, first of all, he, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but he handpicks, our guest is Dr. Brian Jundep. They chose Don, and Don did what we call in the business, he steered the interview.
Of course.
And the room was empty, by the way. Did you notice how many people there weren't in that room?
And CNN's camera angle is, you know, it's the size of a Trump rally. But when you go to the back of the room and look,
it's empty.
It's mostly empty seats.
Well, and
you know, this is the guy that got 81 million votes.
Well, he did what he did.
20% more, 20% more than Barack Obama.
It means nothing.
He can't fill a room.
More voters. It doesn't. Doctor, I don't want to start that. It doesn't mean anything. That game's over.
That's fine, but where's his enthusiasm? Where are the people
That's a separate question. Now we're where we are, and it's only straight ahead. What is to be done? And I'm stumped. I'm stumped at the Republican Party. I'm stumped at so many different things right now. And you and I have talked and had wonderful talks. I love you. I admire you. Dr. Brian Jundep's here. But we are between two great lies, and somebody has to pull this out. And it has to come from the Republican Party. It has to come, better yet, it has to come from a conservative movement. And if we can't get this, I know how much you love your family. They're young kids. I've met your son. What lies for him? What's ahead of him?
No, it's not good if this trend continues. You look at how empires dissolve and crumble, and we're well on that path.
That's right.
Mass dependency and
greed.
You can't have open borders on a welfare state.
No, you can't.
They don't exist. That you have both. It's the end.
There's another federal check coming.
Follow it to its logical conclusion, where you have all you can eat buffet and. unlimited number of people there. Yeah. It doesn't end well.
It can't.
It can't.
I mean, isn't it? Won't it? And can't.
Exactly.
So,
and that's where we're headed. And you know, there are other forces in the world that want to take advantage, and they will. You know, what happens when China flexes its muscle? And you know, the other day they threatened Japan with, "We're going to nuke you if you stand up for Taiwan." Well, what happens if China takes Taiwan? What's the U.S. going to do?
Well, I just wrote a column that comes out, I guess, next day or two, looking at all of Southeast Asia and then all of the Middle East, and those the cries of the hawk, I called them, and all the young dead kids and all the money that's lost, and God knows how many people died in the third world because of the same. And so now these same people go, what about the mullahs, man? Don't let them get the bomb. What about the Chinese? Go get them. What about Putin? Doctor, we've learned nothing. Since I was a young man, this country has been in seriously stupid, unending, no reason for wars. That plenty of young men and women have given their lives, and these guys that are walking around today that are all beat up, all the money, all the loss, God knows how many people in the Arab world or Afghanis or Southeast Asians are all dead, all gone. And now they say, hey, let's go get the Chinese.
And how many Americans? And how much?
That's my point. That was my point.
Yeah, talking about infrastructure and our crumbling roads and bridges and airports.
I agree.
And we're rebuilding these countries.
Yeah, I agree.
But look, where's Afghanistan now? How's that going?
But it's right back.
Taliban is taking over.
That's right. It's where it was when Bush went in.
Yeah, what do we have to show for
20 nothing,
years?
Nothing.
What do the Soviets have to show for
less than
however
zero.
Long they were there?
Less than
nothing.
Zero. Less than zero.
So
what's the lesson? Go get them again?
Well, there's a large segment of the Republican Party that wants that.
Absolutely.
And that's not a winning issue.
Absolutely.
I mean, Trump was against that. And you know,
absolutely.
There's a limit to what he can do. He'd come in unilaterally and
absolutely.
Say we're pulling out. He made an effort to get us out of there. But you know, he's up against the military-industrial complex.
Absolutely.
Eisenhower said,
absolutely.
There's a limit to what one man can do.
Absolutely.
And Trump is not, the president is not a, you know, a king, a dictator, an emperor, whatever, that can do whatever the heck they want.
Agreed.
There's, you know, the Justice Department, the Intelligence Department, and all these, the military and all these forces that are arrayed against you.
Yep.
The president can do just so much.
Now, that's where, and we'll get you back in 10 days. That's where I sit right now, same place. I'm not smart enough, but probably too dangerous because of listening and reading and doing some things in my life. We're sitting at this at crossroads right now, and all I see is insanity all around me. And I think to myself, okay. And the same thing, I listen to these hawks, the cry of the hawk, let's go get the Chinese, let's go get Putin, let's go get the mullahs. I'm thinking, have you learned nothing? Since Jack Kennedy, have you learned nothing? The answer is no. They haven't learned a damn thing. It is the same people saying the same things. And I did. You know, Trump to me is like Conor McGregor, the fighter. You know, I used to love you, man. I used to love you. Now I don't know what to do. Last comment, Doctor. Next time you come in the studio, I miss seeing you. Give us a last comment. All right.
I would not count Donald Trump out. Every time he's been on the ropes during the 4 years of his presidency, how many times were the walls closing in? Let's see what happens.
See,
I have an open mind. I'm not gonna predict, but he's not going away quietly and you know hitting the golf course. He's doing. We'll see what happens.
That could be, but it goes nowhere. And sad. It's sadness. Take care of yourself. The best. Where's your son? Where in the world is your son now?
Well, he's currently at home. He's working for Delta Airlines and revenue management, and he's the guy that has a particular market and kind of figures out seat prices.
Yeah, he's an all right guy.
So
he's
having fun, and he's traveled. He started work a year late because of COVID and all of that, and traveled through a lot of Africa and had a wonderful time.
Good for him. You take care of yourself. The best. Thank you, Doctor.
Take care, Pete.
All right. Back to opens. 303-696-1971. Wow, we're way behind, Billy. Why don't we just take the turnaround? 710 KNUS.
This 710.
Here it is, everyone. Friday morning, the 23rd of July. Remember when We went through all that insanity and talked about the downtown before the Super Bowl, before the All-Star game, and they got these people that had guns and drugs and cash, and they were in a downtown Denver hotel. And I said, there's more to this story. Julia Carty from the Colorado Springs Gazette will join us on the other side. Jack Rice is on the show. Got a couple of minutes of open lines. We'll see if we get there. 303-696-1971. Once again, a lot of anger in the air. 93 will be the high, 87 on Saturday. David Ellis, Cherry Creek. I usually see David on Saturday on a fortune, sitting on a fortune of cash. If you need money right now to go on vacation, after summer vacation, and you're broke, David will pay top dollar for diamonds and gold, sterling silver, wedding bands, Rolex watches, instant cash, finding out what something is worth. David's been buying precious metals and antiques in Colorado for decades. David Ellis offers confidential valuations on estate sale jewelry and precious metals, coins, silver sets, and antique items. There is no obligation, plus a free appraisal, private and confidential. You're looking to buy a gift for somebody special? Go see David. He's the good man. See David Ellis, best prices on diamonds and jewelry. Beautifully newly remodeled and expanded showroom with a black awning, located 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek. Go to davidellisjewelry.com, 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 303-322-8779, 303-322-8779. You'll be glad that you did. For 7-8 months now, we've been talking about everything that's happened in the country, and then for months now, the aftermath of this election. And I'm a huge MMA fan, love Conor McGregor. I despise Conor McGregor now. I can't tolerate Conor McGregor. I thought, man, what a guy. What a great fighter. And you see what he's been doing lately, actually what he's been doing for about the last 2 or 3 years of his life. And Conor McGregor, who I once held in so much esteem, I can't tolerate. I noticed plenty of people, and I watched this stuff happen. Right now, Rudolph Giuliani's a fallen down drunk that had his law license taken from him. The Kraken is headed in the same direction. Lynn Wood is bat crap. Mike Lindell telling people it's like a Benny Hinn thing in a big hangar in Texas about Donald Trump is going to be taken, put back by the Supreme Court. You guys want to believe this stuff. Each and every time, everything that you believe is a failure. It doesn't happen. Now, Donald Trump's Donald Trump. I don't know what's going to happen. He's not coming back to run again. There's a lot of things coming their way, but my heavens, everybody, it's become this religion. And there are people that are archbishops and people that are cardinals in this church. There's some national popes in this church. But you have to come to terms with it. And I know when the truth is found to be lies, something inside you dies. Grace Slick. People don't always hold where they're supposed to hold. And sometimes you say it's not right, but it is what it is. I don't have an answer. I love Dr. June Depp. He's one of the finest men I know. We have great disagreements about this. But the country now sits between two lies. Two lies. And we can't go anywhere. On this side, they believe these lies. On this side, they believe these lies. And not another side is true. And everything that you say about watching the insanity of Joe Biden, I totally agree. I didn't vote for Joe Biden. But you got to be truthful. You got to look at this thing for what it is. And much like I can think of as Conor McGregor. Man, I thought Conor McGregor was great. And it's not true. He's just horrible. The things that he said with laying there with a broken leg, the things he was screaming at that guy. Even that kid, that Tajikistan kid that he fought. And he just, went running up and throwing things at the windows of their bus and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, I used to think, well, he was working, and trying to build ticket prices, like pro wrestling, selling the gate. And I realized it's not. That's a shoot. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's who he's turned into. And I can't tolerate that. Big deal, I can't. But I can't be a Conor McGregor fan anymore. And I can't be a Donald Trump fan anymore. But I still love MMA, and I still love the chance to change this country. But if you keep believing the crazy will take you home. So it is what it is, and it saddens me because the inability to see the obvious. You can't see it. That doesn't matter. It can see you. And the idea, let's go back to war again, is so despicable. What have you learned? What have you learned in the last 50, 60 years go get them again? Why? All right. We'll come back and we'll talk about what happened. This woman did a great job. Her name is Julia Carty. She's at the Denver Gazette. I said Colorado Springs Gazette. It's the Denver Gazette. I apologize. And this this story that ends up, and again, what they know about these guys and where they are now and all of it that comes together. And she's done a great job. And then the one and only Jack Rice returns. Ready, Billy? All right, 710 KNUS, Denver's Talk Station, made it to a Friday. Stefan is this afternoon. Randy's over the weekend. Hang on, everyone. 710 KNUS.